Blog Talk Radio. Ramadan Mubarak. Welcome to Elevated Places, brought to you by Elevated Places Network. I am your host, Sister Ava Muhammad. My co-host is Brother Terrence Muhammad. Our executive producer is Sister Rona Muhammad. And our contributors are Mariam K. Muhammad on health, Ruben Muhammad, international correspondent, and our legal contributor, our attorney, Sister Pamela Muhammad. And on behalf of the Elevated Places team, I want to say to you that we all feel blessed to be with you once again. These programs that we bring to you on Elevated Places are enlightening, they are edifying, and what really makes this program so valuable is you. You who tune in by calling us on 563-999-3065 or by logging in at elevatedplaces@blogtalkradio.com/elevatedplaces. We use the old school talk radio format, and even as we do, of course, we are expanding and growing, being quick, fast thinking, right down to modern times. And so we have a very special program tonight with the Elevated Places team and you, our listeners and callers. I don't need to tell you, there is so much happening, and every component of the events and circumstances taking place all emanate from Allah and can be traceable right back to February of 2020, Savior's Day, and July 4th, 2020, the message, the criterion from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so without any further ado, as we move into our program tonight, we want to, and I know all of you love to always hear every Thursday evening to open up our program, and he has some wonderful things to share, I'm sure, our dear brother Terrence Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaikum salam, and Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan is
a blessed. Let me just say this about Ramadan, and I don't think people get the love that we have for this show, because when this show starts to happen, there was a brother Tony that called me out one time because I didn't mute my phone and I just couldn't wait, and I started breaking out on my fast. But we are actually in the midst we will be, you know, the time to break fast will be happening right around the time of this show. So this is real, real dedication. But we do have a water bottle right beside us. And I ain't going to tell you what else, but we do have something for that. But we are so blessed, and we want everybody to definitely tune in to the Ramadan Prayer Line, ramadanprayerline.com. And go back and hear the first day of Ramadan on Tuesday and the words of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and his words are just always moving and touching, and just it's things that you just, you know, you expect him to go one way and he goes another way, and he extends love to all who is a part of this ummah, who's a part of this community. And the minister wants us to show love to one another. And, you know, beyond your household, beyond your neighborhood, beyond your state, the minister has a universal love for humanity to see us rise as a people. And if you understood who he is, then you can see the majesty and the beauty of this man, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And you can always go back and listen to all of the many, many, many powerful lectures of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. You can go to finalcallradio.com or just go to finalcall.com, and listen to his lectures, but also go to store.finalcall.com to get all of his lectures that you can download or order a DVD. And, you know, we want to make sure that you continue to hear the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and go to NOI.org and go back and hear again the criterion, because the criterion is unraveling as we speak. The criterion is unraveling, and we already know what's going on about Johnson & Johnson, and they putting a whole people, this vaccination from Johnson & Johnson is just going crazy. People are, oh, my God, what in the world? What do we do? What do we, how do we handle this? What, you know, so people are going frantic about what they have taken, and more information is coming out. But we know that God is the all-knowing. As we're reading our Holy Quran during the month of Ramadan, we know that God is the all-knowing. So when you have the mouthpiece of God in our midst, in the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, it will be wise for you to do like they used to do in the old days or back in my childhood, E.F. Hutton. When he speaks, everybody stops and listens. And not only listening, but please take heed to the divine guidance coming from the mouthpiece of God, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Also, we want to make sure that you come back and be a part of our study group. Self-improvement is the basis for community development, because we need some self-improvement, because we definitely need us in our community and the community development. Every Friday night at 7:30 p.m., go to NOI.org and come back Wednesday to NOI.org, and we may hear some more about fasting and this holy month of Ramadan. And, of course, join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern at NOI.org. But you don't want to miss all of your specialties, your gifts, your inspirational words, messages, just a new way of life, just some real love, some how to overcome just burnout. I mean, just so much that you want to get. I mean, you want to know about some deportation and stuff of the man. Look, go to MinisterAva.com, MinisterAva.com. If you like it, you want to come on here, you like this show, you loving it, you all about the blog talk, you done see our sister for many, many, many years with the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and we all love the classic part two, 28 years later of Malcolm X, part two of Mosque Marion, that powerful introduction I always love of our sister as she delivers a powerful address introducing the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. But there's so many things, but just go to MinisterAva.com and just get hip to what's going on. So, Dr. Ava, I'm going to wrap up very quickly and just say a couple of things, because there's so much going on, and it's a shame that so much is going on, and it is terrible that so much is going on. Today, we want to make sure that we keep and uplift the prayers for our brother Mumia Abu-Jamal. We had Sister Pam Africa on here a couple of weeks ago. He had heart surgery today. I haven't heard any of the results of that, but they had a press conference. Mark Anthony Hill was a part of that press conference. Today, so we're looking and we're pushing for the release of our brother. He is innocent of the charges that have put him on death row, and we know he's at a critical condition. It would be a shame that he dies behind those walls as an innocent man. So please remember Mumia Abu-Jamal in our prayers. Then we go to the Chi-Town. And look, Dr. Ava, I'm you know, I said I got to make the show tonight. I got to hold my composure. And I'm just a little bit extra long tonight because in Chicago, the 13-year-old Adam Toledo was killed, hands raised. A baby is killed. And I don't think people get so let me just back up a little bit. I'm doing a summit next Thursday for Earth Week as Earth Day, but I had a conversation with Linda Sassoor with Until Freedom, Emerald Garner, the daughter Eric Garner, and as I said, a brother Chase Iron Eyes, and we were talking about police brutality, and Emerald Garner said that it took her 5 years before she can see the video of her father, Eric Garner, getting killed. But what she's doing now is making sure that people have mental health, and she was stressing it. She was really stressing in this conversation about mental health, because the reality is that we are living through trauma, Dr. Ava. We are literally living in a world of trauma, and that's why project separation is so necessary. We have to separate from this enemy because we can no longer live under this trauma. So as we saw the 13-year-old, and we see the new news of that as we see our brother get killed, right? And it just, Dante, right? And it just more killing. Like, how can we? This was a tweet, or this was something. Yeah, I think it was a tweet that I saw the other day, Dr. Ava. It says, "Look, we interrupt the trial of a white officer killing a black civilian to bring you a press conference of a white officer killing black civilian." Now, I gotta say that again. We had to interrupt a trial of a white officer killing a black civilian to bring you to a press conference of a white officer killing a black civilian. So as we're watching the Derek Chauvin case, his case, not George Floyd, his case, we're also now watching Dante Wright and the upcoming news on that. So that's one thing, Dr. Ava. Then we go to Columbia, South Carolina, Dr. Ava. Yesterday, I see my friend having a Facebook Live, and there's some protest going on, and she's down in Columbia, South Carolina. She said there's a protest going on in the neighborhood next door to me. I'm getting ready to go over there, and I'm like, no, stay home. I had no clue what was going on at the time. But earlier I saw a video of this white man looking like a big dude, you know, big, strong, white, bald-head man. Later found out he's a soldier in the armed forces. Was bullying this young black in this neighborhood who said he lives in the neighborhood. So as he kept bullying in Columbia, South Carolina, black folks, I love it. They said, we're not going to take it no more. And they showed up at his house in numbers and told him, come on outside. You want to push some black folks around? Come on outside. That's how we show up, Dr. Ava. That's how we... See, that's what I mean by the trauma. We can't take it no more. We're at the breaking. We've been at the breaking point, but folks are standing up and, like, went through his house and said, come out your door so we can deal with you. And that was powerful. We're going to continue to watch. Because they said that he got arrested, but he only got arrested for a third-degree assault, which means 30 days of jail time, $500 fine, which means he's not going to do anything. But that community going to make sure he remember once he come out that door. And as I wrap up, Dr. Ava, there was a 61-year-old Minnesota man, white man, who hit a retail worker. He rammed a police car, hits a cop in the head with a hammer, and drives off with a police officer hanging on his trunk.
And he is alive.
Hit somebody in the head with a hammer. Rammed their truck. Hit a retail worker, and he is still white man alive. So, The reason why I said Dr. Ava, I had to close out and take an extra little time because this past Friday, my son, he failed to just make a phone call to his mother just to let him know that his game, football game, was delayed and he went out to dinner. He forgot to give a call. His phone went dead. So for a couple of hours, my son was missing because I get the phone call, have you talked to your son? So he doesn't live with me. He lives about an hour away. I get up on my bed and go try finally find my son, and we locate him before I get there. But the feeling that black parents have to go through every time their child walks out that door, every time our child walks out that door or leaves their own home, we are wondering, will our child return? I had trauma worried about him because I didn't know what could have happened because he lives in America. That's one. That's my son on Friday. But today, Dr. Ava, I have an uncle.
And he's a young
I have an uncle that has
male.
And he's 16. So you already know where my mind went. But then,
oh
Dr. Ava, I had an uncle. My uncle, you know, everybody got this, as I would say, crazy uncle in the family, right? So I had this special uncle in my family. And that uncle came to my job because he's having some problems in his apartment complex. And I know my uncle may have a little, you know, little sidebar issues, but my uncle had a gun on him, and he had because he wanted to have it. And he said, "I'm going to talk to the police and talk to him, and I'm gonna hand the gun over when I go talk to him." Trauma kicks in for me. I was like, "I'm not letting you go to no police officer with a gun to talk to them." So luckily, I went with my uncle. I had his firearm in a bag, and we talked to the police, and everything was good. And luckily, I knew the police chief. But that scenario could have changed because I could not go with him because he was going to go on his own anyway. So it was best that I was there. But I went because I knew that if he would have gone talking the way he was talking, I don't know if that would have been the last time me seeing my uncle. And I'm saying that, Dr. Ava, is that we're living under constant trauma. And we need to come from under this trauma that we live in under and separate and listen and heed the words and the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And that's all I got to say. I know it was a little time, and usually I just run for everybody to go to find us.
No, this is important.
Yes. But it is a time that we are living in, Dr. Ava, that is very critical. And not only that, sadly to say that our sister is under fire, Tamika Mallory, and, of course, Sean Keen, but because of the money that Black Lives Matter has incurred as the international organization and other people are coming out, people are catching fire. So it's a lot going on that we're fighting internally as the enemy is fighting and killing us. And some many means that's out there in post, black folks said, we just want to be able to wake up and live in peace. That's all. Can we just do that? That's all. But as long as we live amongst them, we will live under them.
Under
so it's time
them.
For us to exodus stage left. Back to you, Dr. Ava.
Oh, excellent, excellent report, Brother Terrence. And, you know, tonight, the things that you just brought to us in rapid sequence and ending with personal experience. See, the media likes to talk about we all know someone or have been touched by the virus. We also know someone and have been touched by these state-sponsored murders.
That's right.
At the hands of the police. You know, we also know someone who has died as a result of the numerous preconditions that black people have. Our current issue of the Final Call newspaper has a full-page photograph of hip-hop icon DMX, who, as all of you or most of you know, passed away recently. And the family is of the position that because our brother recently took the COVID-19 vaccine. This is what led to his death. Now, this is a brother who was asthmatic. And if you will all recall, when the nation presented the COVID-19 plenary session, the virologist, Dr. Judy Mikovits, was interviewed along with other scientists. And one of the things you saw was a list of conditions that if a person has any of those conditions, they should not take any of these COVID-19 vaccines. And that includes Pfizer, Moderna, and now, of course, Johnson & Johnson as a whole. That's a standalone killer in and of itself. But the point of the matter is, beloved, we have to learn in a very short window as a people how to recognize when we're receiving mercy and how to recognize the reality that it is the human being that is or has the capacity for divinity. This time we live in is where it's crucial that we recognize the most profound statement ever made by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad or anyone. And that is this statement, four words: God is a man.
Come
and
on.
So through the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, we were warned not to take the COVID-19 vaccine. And look at the wisdom, Brother Terrence. He didn't connect it with a brand. At that time, these vaccines were all in development. There's numerous vaccines in development. And they were still in development when the minister issued that declaration. So in America, thus far, you have three. You have Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson, which has now been, it's amazing the euphemisms for white people. It's been put on pause. But in other words, it's been suspended. It's been stopped. It's been recalled. Because people are dying from complications with blood clots. And trust and believe, people, there's more than seven people that have died from this. I don't know. I couldn't tell you if my life depended on it, so I'm not trying to act like I know something. But we know there's something not right about all of this. Because I don't know the U.S. government to pull back a product because six in every million cause fatalities. They sell millions and billions of cigarettes every day. And they kill people to a certainty. And so I don't know if this is some problem going on among the pharmaceutical cartel. Because, you know, you got Moderna and Pfizer over in the biotech, and then Johnson & Johnson is kind of somewhere else. They use the traditional inactivated disease. And their biggest claim to fame was we're a one-shot dose, and we don't need these unspeakable cold temperatures to store ours. But the minister didn't say this one or that one. He said the COVID-19 vaccine. So any vaccine that comes out purporting to help you overcome COVID-19, stay away as far as you can from that.
Come on.
And not going to get into it tonight because we have a lot to cover. But It's just something, Brother Terrence, how Allah just backs his servant at warp speed.
That's
you
right.
know, the
That's
unraveling
right.
of a great nation, death in the vaccine, and now here comes this exposure of J&J, but now it's increasing the doubt that our community in particular, but understand, beloved, there is a whole lot. There are millions of white folks, especially the evangelist community, that are absolutely opposed to these vaccines. And in fact, I wish I had gotten the name, but they did a segment, Brother Terrence, last night on CNN, and it was about a white Southern preacher, and he has a diverse congregation of black and white, mostly underserved, low-income people, but he was preaching from that pulpit like he was in one of our study groups, because he said...
Come on.
He was saying that this virus is treatable.
That's right.
You know, he said this whole thing is a scam. Why would you let somebody stick this thing in your arm? Why? Talking about this vaccine. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you have powerful people such as the Kennedy, Brother Attorney Kennedy, who is firm, who has alienated himself from his own family to stand up for truth. So we are, though we could easily stand alone, we don't care, but we're not alone. That's the point. And there is powerful pushback going on in the NFL. I was... on my way to our weekly executive council meeting yesterday morning, I ended up being late because I was looking at the trial, the George Floyd case, and I flipped channels and I saw on the NFL network there was a debate going on, and lo and behold, it had to do with the vaccine. And one of the panelists, it was on the Stephen A. Smith program. It was on ESPN because Stephen A. Smith was hosting. And they had a guest who is an insider or has got some involvement with the Players Union. And he said, you know, you all need to understand that there are a number of players in the NFL that are not going to take this vaccine.
That's
and
right.
So the owners and the commissioner better prepare themselves for this. And he said, and don't think you're going to, in so many words, roll over them because, and he said something I hadn't thought of. He said, you know, these are professional athletes that make millions of dollars a year from their bodies. These are
That's
men
right.
that are deeply knowledgeable in nutrition and medicine.
Come on.
And very astute about what goes in their bodies because they have to be both physically in top condition, but to be effective in this game, they have to be mentally astute. And he said, so don't think they're not giving consideration and listening and studying this vaccine. And he said, I'll tell you, he said, they are hearing things. Now listen at this. They are hearing things about the vaccines that are not being said in mainstream media. Now, I wonder, these things they're hearing, where that's coming from. We can never underestimate influence and the impact of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam on our people. And if we don't think that our people are not taking a second look, then we better think again. Because I think the last statistic I was heard said or read was that somewhere around 6 to 8% of black people have that are eligible have taken this vaccine. And they want 100% of us.
Right.
And we have been completely blacked out on any type of mainstream media and the overwhelming majority of social media platforms. And yet we are still getting through. Why? Because, as I keep saying, we already won this. Because it ain't us. It's Allah God in the person of Master Farid Muhammad that's got
that's
us.
Right.
And he's running
that's
this
right.
thing through his servant, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And at his side is Mahdi, the Christ, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who said, this world can't bother my minister. So we're witnessing all of this happen. And then these events once again fall. Because remember, we were in the lockdown and COVID had come this time last year, Ramadan last year. It's been
that's
over
right.
a year.
That's right.
And the minister said this thing isn't going anywhere. He told them, you will not solve this problem. And they're going to realize that the best and only solution to this problem is separation. Because separation's not the only thing that's going to save our lives, but it's the only thing that's going to get Allah up off of white people. Because they're just seeing the beginning of their sorrow. And here's a white female officer. See, remember the messenger. Allah will make you separate. Oh, George Floyd being tortured to death, didn't get it done? You sitting at home waiting for a conviction?
Come
In
on.
The meantime, a 20-year-old? Here's a white woman, a white blonde female, makes me think of Dallas, Brother Terrence.
Come on, that's right.
Yeah, and look at what she's
Hilarious.
Doing that night, the other night. She's training new officers.
What a training. What a training.
What a training. This is what you see. It exposed what they teach them.
Exactly.
Here's a man, you really didn't have any business bothering him, period. Okay? And you end up taking his life in his car. 20 years old with a 1-year-old son. In the same city or some little crazy suburb, halfway town with a little black mayor who was scared to fire the woman.
Mm-hmm.
This happens. So what is this, Brother Terrence? Is it that Allah has made them crazy or are they making a statement? But either way, who among us is still silly enough to want to try to live with them? That's what I would like to know. Because I don't get it. But anyway, that's a segue into. Go ahead, Brother Terrence.
Yeah, no, and I did want to go back to two things a couple of things that you said. One, and I'm gonna speak on the DMX. Please get your copy of the Final Call newspaper, finalcalldigital.com, finalcalldigital.com, or get the hard copy whenever you see the brothers selling them, because that cover and the article and the love that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has for our people, it's unmatched, as we see the spread for our brother DMX, and we see that the connection and the love that all, you know, a lot of the rappers have in, as we saw Brother Willie on National Network View had with Busta Rhymes, had with Fat Joe, all the hip-hop artists. So this will be very major, you know, about what we're saying about if the family stands on that position, what that would do, as we're seeing the world love for DMX. And if they find out what caused his death out of their love for him, we're going to see a very serious summer. Ooh. as we're watching these trials happen and more killings happening, and the weather has changed just like last year. What are we going to see in these streets? The news reports are talking about people getting ready to reboard up their buildings. But not only reboard up, but now we see the Johnson & Johnson. And if this comes out and it comes into the mainstream about DMX, then you can't imagine what songs, what radio stations, what media is going to be talking about across the world as it combats this. And what's going to happen, Dr. Ava, you're going to set the Joshua generation against the preachers, because I haven't heard one black preacher or a collective black preacher come out against COVID. Like you said, the little white ones and those other ones that didn't believe in COVID anyway, that didn't want to be wearing no mask in the first place, they are coming out. But the black preachers are bought and sold, and they are saying, get this vaccination. Ain't none collectively come together. And said we oppose the vaccine. I ain't heard one radio or broadcast nowhere where they have come out. Because if any black preacher come out against the vaccination, you know they will be on front line or on the front page. And because they said, how dare you? That's what it would be looked upon.
That's right.
And they can't do it. But in the last piece where I can't speak on, but I can speak on this. Never doubt, and I want to say this to those that are registered, those that are not registered, those that believe, those that have been in the nation for a day, those that have been in for years, I don't care how long you have been in there, I need you to scream to the mountaintop that you know that the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan is a man of love, a man of integrity, a man that is in his soul, loves our people, and does so much for our people, that which is seen and not seen. And if most of you knew, matter of fact, you don't have to know the unseen. Just don't even worry about the unseen. That's a lot of stuff that people don't even know of the help that the minister gives to families across the world that's not members of registered members, quote unquote, of the nation. But we see them as members and family anyway. But the minister's love and his insight on things is so unmatched. So I just want you to deal with the stuff that you do know about. If you know that he's good, you know that he's done work, you know he's an honorable man, tell the world that and start showing that and start sharing that all throughout social media, because people need to understand that when he makes certain moves, know that it is coming from a place founded and rooted in God, that he is not just doing something haphazardly. He is a divinely guided man. And if I didn't see something and recognize something on yesterday, if I didn't know who he was, every time he said go, I'm trying to go. Where he say stay front, I'm trying to stay front.
I'm with you, man.
And I'm just saying, when he says to go somewhere or stay away from something, it gets revealed on the truth of what he speaks. And we're seeing it when he said it in the garden for the criterion about the vaccination. But we also see when he comes in defense of the people, man, I'm just saying, y'all, we need to act like we know, and we need to act like we need to tell the people who don't know who the minister is, so we can save our own lives by not hiding the light under the bushel and not letting the people know who this blessed man is in our midst, a divine blessing in our midst. I just had to remember to say that, Dr. Avon.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. I'm glad you did. And this is a perfect segue into tonight's overall discussion on the absence of justice for black people in America. And this is why we have to separate. And, of course, both sides have rested in the murder of George Floyd. The defendant, Derek Chauvin, made a decision not to take the witness stand, of course. I personally, as a former prosecutor and defense lawyer, feel that this man is between a rock and a hard place because the whole world witnessed you torture, murder this man. And so on one hand, you really need to say something to this jury about what your state of mind was while you had the full weight of your body on his neck for 9 minutes. Because remember, one of the expert witnesses testified, I think it was the pulmonologist, who said, if you look closely, you will see that Derek Chauvin's, the toe of his boot was up off the ground while his knee was on Mr. Floyd's neck. So the pressure, the weight of his body was full. Add to that his gun, his belt, his taser, all of the heavy, probably 30 pounds of equipment that a cop wears, okay? And all of this, and then the hand in the pocket. You know, he's pressing his own thigh down. And Mr. Floyd is pressed between the full body and equipment weight of Derek Chauvin and the concrete street. It's a slow, torturous death. But both sides rested, and on Monday, they will give their closing arguments. You have a jury that has 8 whites, 4 blacks. I think that half of the jury is under the age, more than half of the jury is under the age of 50. So they're young enough to be social media aware and social media active, I would say, Brother Terrence. And I find that interesting. That such is the case. There's 14 of them because 2 of them are alternates. And 2, I don't know which 2, define themselves as multiracial. And one of them is a nurse. But we'll see. Obviously, the defense is hoping they'll just get one, just one, who will feel that a reasonable doubt was created by the defense. But enough of me. We have one of the best minds in the land who is going to share some insight on the Chauvin murder trial. And we didn't have any guests tonight because we want you, the callers, to be able to weigh in. Because I know you all are strongly opinionated, very astute, and I know you have things to share on this case. So at this time, it gives me great pleasure to welcome to the microphone Attorney Sister Pamela Muhammad. As-salamu alaykum, Sister Attorney.
Wa alaykum salam, Sister Dr. Ava, and as-salamu alaykum to you, Brother Terrence.
Wa alaykum salam.
Yes, sir. And I just want to say all praise is due to Allah, Sister Ava, for what you said. That is, you know, I really want to jump into it tonight. Like, I was listening intently to you, who is a fine, fine, one of the best attorneys in the land that I know, you know, as the nationalist for the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. That's you can't get any higher up than that. So I just wanted to thank you for all that you do. And so, you know, as you're saying, when we look at this trial of Derek Chauvin, it really brings to mind the black, a microcosm of the rape, you know, white supremacy in black America and its effects. And it's really just killing us. This is why we have to separate. And this is something else, as you brought up, Brother Terrence, if we listen to the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's words, you know, this is the direction that we must go. I think, you know, certain things just jump out at me, such as excessive stops of black men, excessive force of black males, the murders relating to the traffic stops of black men, the cover-ups that are in these different establishments, such as the medical examiner's office in the police department, where we get these lies coming out as to what witnesses didn't say or what they allegedly said. You know, we saw the holding of people in detention, which I'm going to call that plantation politics. And of course, the character assassination of a black man, what we're seeing being done to our deceased brother by these lies about his cause of death, where they're trying to link it to, you know, just all kinds of preposterous tales where the evidence, the credible evidence, shows that Chauvin killed him by kneeling on the knee, you know, and really jamming the knee, choking this brother, you know, executing this brother, as you're saying, while he begged for his life. That's what one of the female witnesses said today, you know, a couple of days ago, witness Shawanda Hill. She said, George said at the beginning, please don't kill me. He begged them not to kill him. But as we know, Sister Ava, the initial, you know, stop and detention and running up on George Floyd with a gun, this is part of black men being more likely to be stopped. It is documented evidence. I'm looking at an ABC poll here that is an analysis of traffic stops. It reveals that racial disparities do exist. It shows that black drivers or pedestrians are more likely to be stopped by police than white drivers or pedestrians. They're looking at several cities here. They're saying that black drivers were 5 times more likely to be stopped by police than white drivers. And I think this was in Minneapolis. They studied Minneapolis. 5 times more likely. So we see our young brother who was just murdered. What is his name? His name is Dante Wright. You know, five times more likely to be stopped. And then we see in Chicago, San Francisco, black drivers are 4 times more likely to be stopped. And in Philadelphia and Los Angeles, black drivers are 3 times more likely to be stopped. But not only are they being stopped, they're more likely to be murdered. I think in 2015, which was the best data I could find this evening, they said that there have been 100 people shot and killed by police after a traffic stop that year. But then they talked about how 1 in 3 of them were black. And so they talk about that being the one of the most common factors resulting in fatal police shootings of black people is the fact that we're being stopped, you know, by police. Yeah. Just the whole encounter with them is murderous, as you said, this state-sponsored murder. And then we have the medical examiner who in this case, I think his name was John Fowler. He was this person brought in to try to refute and make up all these lies and the cover-up of how they want to say, oh, the cause of death was something like carbon, you know, just a bunch of preposterous carbon monoxide. Then they want to talk about drugs. But we saw this, we saw our brother's life being choked from his body by the pressure and by the force and by that, like you said, the hand in the pocket, because he's enjoying this. But this Fowler,
right,
who testified from Maryland, he's out of Maryland, and actually I think he's a South African native or something. So, I mean, these people were just really so racist looking. They had the appearance of being very racist white men, who I think the defense used for his testimony. Well, it turns out this John Fowler, he has been sued and is no longer in his position as a medical examiner in Maryland because he covered up and lied on an autopsy report regarding a black young man by the name of Anton Black, who was killed in 2018. You know, if he lied or he was the supervisor in that lie, but they were working together to once again come up with some ridiculous cause of death when this young brother was killed by the police, just like in the Derek Floyd case. So this is the person that is testifying for the, you know, for the killer cop in Derek Chauvin in this case. So we know the targeting of blacks, you know, for investigatory stops and excessive force, it's just really been highlighted in this case. And like I say, the plantation politics is, you know, just systemic racism, how we saw the officer, he was standing across the street detaining the young people, the people who have been in the car with Derek Floyd, while we see Chauvin across the street killing our brother. And, you know, they're just holding them without any kind of probable cause, really, or without sufficient probable cause, and
no
just
reason.
Holding them captive,
yeah,
like it was the slave plantation, Sister Ava. You know, so,
slave
again, it's just a slave plantation, and then the use of words like crowd. You know, this medical examiner wants to say, oh, yes, see, it was a crowd. What is a crowd? A crowd is two or more people. You know, that sounds like some Jim Crow language at its best, where, you know, a black person, you know, they were big, they were burly, you know, any type of made up, you know, you stepped on the sidewalk, so there was a threat, you know, to the life. This is what the black codes, you know, this is the language, and we're still seeing this. And you know, so, yeah, those were some of the things that I noticed. Of course, the excessive force, the chokeholds, you know, and that was another thing. The defense attorney tried to say that Derek, that our brother, George Floyd, in at the time that he was being murdered, was somehow overreacting because he was yelling out, you know, because he was crying out. And so just that type of just very just character assassination and defamation. Of course this man is reacting, and he reacted from the very beginning, and that's one of the things I want to really bring out, because our brothers are seeing this, you know, they're the victims, and many of the women too. It's not just males that are being targeted and set out to be killed, because we had Breonna Taylor, we had Sandra Bland, you know, who was just murdered and stopped for no reason. And so when we see these officers coming, we don't have any trust that they're going to not try to kill us. And so, you know, of course, he's going to react for those very reasons. And so, like they say, there was 6,211 people killed by police, and I believe that was since January 2015. 6,211 people, and I got this out of the Washington Post. And so they're saying that an average of about 1,000 people per year are being killed by police officers. And whereas black people are just less than 13% of the population, we're killed by police more than twice the rate of whites and Hispanics. So, you know, And Hispanics are not far behind us, because I believe they're being killed, you know, at a very high rate as well. So,
13-year-old boy, Latino.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I saw that too. And so, yes, ma'am. It's just really evidence that we're being shown that we, you know, we cannot continue to seek them, you know, seek them to do the right thing because they get in the court and just lie and cover up and really, really, it's just insulting. It's insulting for us to continue to have to seek justice from our tormentors. So those were some of the things I wanted to just bring up. It was kind of a cursory. I wanted to look at it from a cursory standpoint because, like you said, I know the callers and yourself and any, you know, have so much that you all have seen as well with this trial. So those were some of the things that I wanted to add. So thank you so much, Sister Dr. Ava. As-salamu alaykum.
No, thank you, Sister Attorney. And before we delve deeper into the outlook, and I wanted to get the callers' views on how they see the possible outcome, if you have been keeping up with the trial, either by watching some of it, reading about it, the naturally the media is a corporate-controlled media, and so the analyst that come on, they have parameters that they have to speak within. But before we go to that, I want to back up because our brother John Muhammad identified for me. He sent me the link. And you all remember I mentioned any evangelist pastor. And I just want to give you his name so you all can look him up. His name is Pastor Tony Spell. S-P-E-L-L, Tony Spell, and he is in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. He's an evangelist, and a story was done on him last night on CNN. And naturally, the media is all completely owned by Big Pharma, and so we all have experienced that any position that is against these COVID-19 vaccines, you're going to get blacked out or you're going to meet with derision and mockery and dismissed. And I let me just quote what one of the things he told his congregants. He's the pastor of the Life Tabernacle Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Tony Spell is his name. And he's quoted here, if you have a 99.6 survival rate, why do you want somebody to contaminate your bloodstream with something that may or may not hurt you? Let's say that again. He raised the question, if you have a 99.6 survival rate, why do you want somebody to contaminate your bloodstream with something that may or may not hurt you? Now, CNN calls that a false statement. They said that's a false statement, the content of the question he's raising. My question to CNN is, what part of it is false? That he said there's a 99.6% survival rate of COVID-19? Well, guess what? Former COVID task force team member Deborah Birx of the CDC also said there's a 99% survival rate. This virus has a 1% death rate, so that's not the lie. Then he asked a question.
Come on.
Why do you want somebody to contaminate your bloodstream with something that may or may not hurt you? Well, that's the perfect description of what? An experimental vaccine.
That's right.
It has not, again, it has not been approved. It is experimental, meaning that we don't know what it's going to do. We're finding out. There's, in fact,
sister Donna Muhammad sent me some information today from the CDC. They said 50, and you know, whenever they admit a number, it's going to be greater or smaller depending on the politics. But guess what? They admitted that 5,800 fully vaccinated people have contracted COVID-19. Fully vaccinated, meaning that if they took Moderna or Pfizer, they got both doses. I mean, what kind of outcome is that? That you go and get shot twice and you still get COVID. And there's a whole, we'll get into that later on or another time, about why these cases are rising. All this alarm on television. Look at this, beloved, and then we're going to go back to the case. All year, the American people have been told, we just need to get to the vaccine and life will be normal. We remember all that? You got to wear the mask when? Until you get vaccinated. When the vaccinations come, we're going to go back to normal. Now, 30% of the population has been vaccinated. Now, what are we being told? The cases are on a rise. They're on a rise. How are they on a rise? First of all, you got a virus that has hung around longer than any in recorded history. Well, it's the mutants. It's the variants. It's the UK variant, the South African variant, the Brazilian variant, the Fiji Island, the Bahamas, the Antarctic variant. They're flying in and they're landing and they're taking over in Michigan and all these other places. And so the vaccine can take care of it, but you got to get a booster shot. So the shot you're taking is going to last 6 months. So you're going to get these vaccines twice a year for the rest of your short life. Are we paying attention to this madness? This is the psychotic here. Yet you have a baseball game last week with 45,000 people in a stadium. We're opening back up, guys. The restaurants are open. The amusement parks are open. The airlines have never stopped making money. Just put your mask on and go. Oh, and by the way, they've never had a standardized mask. I want you to consider that. Anything you slap on your face is acceptable.
Listen to this. Say that again. Say that again, Dr. No, and seriously, because when you just said that, that made everybody on the call say, she is so right. Everybody just put something over your face. There is no standardized mask that nobody has said is the mask that everybody should wear, and you should get this one.
Right.
Not one.
Because in an epidemic with a specific virus, isn't there a specific type of material that we need to have to block this virus out? They should just put anything on. So you got all kind of commercials and, you know, people have fashion masks and the blue surgical facial mask and this mask and that. And all of them are okay. Just cover up your nose and mouth. There's something wrong with this picture. But we'll get back on this another time. But we're gonna, it's amazing. Amazing. But we're going to go to the phones and get our callers in. And right at the top, number one, Sister Ula. Yoo-hoo. Ramadan Mubarak. And by the way, time to break the fast.
That's right. It is for you all. Mine has been broken. It was pitch black already.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, it did pass while I was yakking, but now I'm ready to open up my eternal life. That's the name of this water, TV, eternal life. I think Sister Ula may be pulling some muffins out the oven, or maybe...
Gotta be pulling some muffins.
Taking a nap. Okay. Sister Ula will be back. And we're going to go to, we're going to leave Michigan and go out to Florida to Brother Daryl. As-salamu alaykum, Brother Daryl.
Wa alaykum salam, Ramadan Mubarak to the family. How's everybody doing?
Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan
Kareem.
Yeah, I'm still numb. I apologize for last week for having a meltdown, but it's even worse than that.
No apology.
I'm listening to what you are saying, and Sister Pamela, she's hit it. We all on the same page. I thank Allah for your show, and it need to be on 24/7. But when she said he was had his hands in his pocket and his feet was off the ground, and I'm not being vulgar, but he was playing pocket pool, getting off and taking our brother's life, because this man, like, he looked in the camera like he knew that he wanted the world to see this. And then for you to have everybody saying that it's a trial going on and it's continuing to go on, for what? The world's seen, and if they ask you, do you have an eyewitness, everybody see it and know what's going on. So why is it a trial? And back to the lady that killed a 20-year-old brother, they said, and this just came out about it. See, it always come out after they done killed somebody. This woman already had a track record behind her. They said that she had been involved. Yes, they said that she had already had a track record in brutalizing someone. And police officers that came, and she told them all to leave in their car, and they cleaned it up, Sister Ava. They never reported it, but it always, when they do something, they come out later. This woman should have been off the force. This is how they do her.
And she's training people. They got her training people.
Yes. Yes. And then now I'm hearing, like you said, it's not only the males, it's our females, it's our babies. Now here it is, the 74-year-old woman was calling, which we, the minister said, we need to stop calling these police on our children that have ailments, you know, some type of breakdown ailment. She called, and they manhandling her child, and she said, you don't have to do that. They grabbed her, Sister Ava, and handcuffed her and broke her arm. 74-year-old woman broke her arm. And she said, oh, my God, Jesus, why are you allowed, why are you doing this? They are killing our people wholesale and mistreating us any kind of way, and we are still standing on this. And we have to understand, we have to separate. And right quick, I just want to know, I'm waiting on my stimulus check. I'm ready to get some land in Uganda. And now if they're howling about that we cannot get a passport or a fly, what is it that we could do to get in touch with our sisters and brothers that has relocated over there, that we may be able to go through them to get some property so we can have something waiting on us whenever we ask this or how we this go down. But right now, we don't have no other way. And also your book right quick. I want to get your book. If any of them you could be put on audio, let me know. I pay extra because that Black Love, that book is off the chizang. I love it. So whenever you can, let me know. Sister Rona could call me. And if you get these books from me on auto, I would like to get every last one of them. As-salamu alaykum. Love you. And you all stay safe.
Oh, thank you, beloved. And may you as well.
Sister Ava, can I say real fast?
Yes, yes
ma'am. Okay. Yes, ma'am. So he brought out that point about just the mockery of how they do, because in the Derek Chauvin trial, the question is asked whether or not Derek Chauvin's use of force is even justified. You know, whether it's reasonable. This is what we have to understand. They are mocking us by attempting to say that we didn't see what we saw. and that animalistic, savage behavior is in some way justified. And you know, there's a sister, I really want to talk about the sister, Carol Horn, who was a Buffalo, New York police officer that was terminated in 2006. And so she has recently been reinstated. She won reinstatement. This is a black female. And she was fired because she stopped a fellow officer, a white officer, from choking a man. She stopped him. She said the man was yelling, "Hey, I can't breathe." And she got him up off of that, our brother, this black man, and she saved his life. But she got fired. And you know what else? The white man who did it, the officer who was choking, not only did he didn't get fired, he got promoted. She got fired. And the white police officer, I think his name was Katowski, this was in 2006, he sued her for defamation and won $6,000 to say.
Oh, my God. So, I can't.
Yes, ma'am. But she has been, she won her case. It got reversed. And another chokehold case. So I just wanted to add that.
No, I appreciate that. And I'm looking at, I got a text from Sister Donna Muhammad on our separation team. And her husband, Brother Sika, she's talking about how he gets stopped. He's a tall black brother. Gets stopped all the time. You know, somebody brought up in one of the discussions, as you were talking about, Sister Pamela, and I think we have to pause on that. Now, we know that ultimately there's no other solution to this but separation. But in dealing with the state of mind of many of our people and the fact that the minister himself has cautioned me over and over that separation is a process, you know, one person, in fact, it was a Caucasian raised this, but I think it has validity. And that is, you know, perhaps eliminating police from making ordinary traffic stops.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, why is somebody with a gun pulling me over because my taillight is broken or because I didn't turn on a signal when I changed lanes? Because you just said it. I think you, what did you say, 33% of traffic stops are black people?
Let me find it, Sister Ava. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. But I know it was. I forgot how you stated it. Yeah, state that again, because it's way out of proportion to our percentage of the population, which is 13. We're 13% of America's population.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I know 1 in 3 of black people are actually murdered by police in these fatal interactions of the 100 people that are shot and killed.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So 1 out of 3, which is a third of the deaths, the killings that emanate from traffic stops. Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
So 1/3 of the deaths coming out of a police stop for traffic are black people.
Yes, this was 2015. Yes, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the person raising that, it's worth looking at, because we are being killed in almost in most of the cases we learn about through national media are involved traffic.
Yes,
brother,
ma'am.
Down in South Carolina, remember Walter Scott? It was
a
broken taillight on a Mercedes Benz. And he got out and ran. And the cops shot him in the back 8 times.
That's right.
And the couple in Cleveland several years ago, See, the other thing that happens, like with Dante Wright, when they started putting the cuffs on him and had his hands behind him, he pulled away and got in the car. See, what will never be acknowledged by this bestial country called America, what you have created in us is fear and panic. It's a justified fear and panic when we get stopped by police, which was just justified by the statue gate.
Yes, ma'am.
He really
yes,
wanted
ma'am.
To get away. Now, look at this. He's watching every day the George Floyd trial. He lives outside of Minneapolis. He knows firsthand of what the police do to black people. St. Paul across the river, St. Paul, Minnesota, Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul. St. Paul is where Philando Castile was shot in the face on a traffic stop. Minor traffic stop.
Oh, yes,
stop.
Ma'am.
So with his baby in the back seat, because, oh, and wasn't a female with Dante Wright, wasn't his girlfriend with him?
Yes, ma'am.
So she could have been killed. See, and the other thing is, you're exposing bystanders and other
right.
vehicles, because these devils, they open fire. They don't give a damn where they are when it's in a black area. My husband has talked about that, how in Chicago, like when the police, if they stop somebody for traffic, they may end up blocking traffic when they could pull over to the side. They'll park
right.
sit their vehicle in the middle of the street. It is in their nature to be wild and terroristic. They destroy lives. They destroy communities. And maybe they need to be taken off of traffic stops with all of the video surveillance and cameras. We're all getting tickets in the mail. Why don't you get a ticket in the mail then for a light? See,
that's right. Yes, ma'am.
This is a door to murder us.
Come on.
You know, America itself is like a giant trap. And all of us have to maneuver around these traps every day of our lives. And I can't say when you step out your house, because they come in your house. When you are asleep in your bed, as Breonna Taylor was. When you are eating ice cream after work, as the brother was in Dallas, Texas, the accountant, who a white female cop busted in his house, and killed him because she said he didn't do what she told him to do. We better snap out of it.
That's right.
Because almost every single case that has happened since the wave of these, it's been happening forever, but this wave of the ones in national news since Trayvon Martin, who was murdered by somebody that's not even a cop, who just made up in his mind he wanted to kill a black man, a boy, a child. And that's the other thing. Dante Wright wasn't even a man yet. He was 20. Not 21. So they're going to tell
right.
his one-year-old, yeah, your father got gunned down by the cops when you were one. How many people got COVID? How many black children are being told you don't have a father because he was killed by the police? Well,
yes,
what did
ma'am.
He do? Well, he was driving down the street, and I don't know. We don't know what he did. I mean, we think about this reality. So we got, let's keep moving. We got Brother Frank. Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak, Brother Frank.
All right, well, nigga, my beautiful sister, my brother. How y'all doing this evening? On fire,
fine,
I see.
Sir,
that was a rhetorical question. And Brother Terrence, you didn't have to tell what else you had there besides live. We know you got them dates there too. I know what's
what?
Going on. I know you got your bowls for the dates. I know you got them dates on the side.
Oh, there were no dates. It was
don't
a full meal laid out.
There
were no dates. I wasn't just trying to break. I was going to break.
but anyway, once again, y'all on fire. You know, this Derek Chauvin case, if this not a clear-cut open and shut case, there's no such thing. You see, what I can't understand is, well, I do understand it, but when is we as a people going to understand? There's only but two ways, one or two ways that this murder bus is going to stop. It's either separation or appropriate retaliation, one or the other. What I can't understand is when is we as a whole going to wake up and understand that? When is our Hispanic brothers and sisters going to wake up and understand that who the true enemy is? And it's not black people. When is our Asian people, brothers and sisters, are going to wake up and recognize who the true enemy is? And it's not black people. So why are you trying to align yourself with these people by displaying any kind of contempt towards black people who is not shooting you at 13 years old with your hands up, who is not coming to your spas and slaughtering you because you're Asian and female? It's like it says in one of the seven articles of faith, all faith, or good or bad, is from Allah / God. He is open. He's trying to open the eyes not only of us, but of the entire world for the true nature of the beast. With technology, we are able to see that this man will kill us right on video, right front of our face, and don't even shed a tear. We'll gun
exactly.
An Hispanic 13-year-old kid down. You see what I'm saying? Hands up, okay?
Yeah.
Not pose no threat, and shoots him anyway. Okay? Now, how they going to respond to this is going to be up to them. But I'm just saying we all need to wake up. Black people are halfway there, but all of us, we need to wake up and come together and call the true enemy out for who he is and let him know we're not going to take this no more as one force. We really do.
That's right. That's
thank
exactly
you, my brother.
Right, Brother Frank.
And my sister, brother. That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Praise God.
No, well said. Well said. You know, my husband, Brother Darius, mentioned to me that on the Black Talk Radio here yesterday, they were discussing separation, which again, see, this is being forced to surface in the consciousness of our people. But similar to the days of Pharaoh, you know, these house Negroes, the enchanters, right now, they're the biggest impediment to our freedom. Because going back to
Brother
Terrence's point about the preachers to a person, are they support the vaccine. They didn't know what it was when they started. Now that they're hearing about it killing people, they're still telling you to go get it. So one of the co-hosts on their big afternoon drive program, my husband was telling me, was saying, see, all you all who are separatists that want to separate, you go ahead and separate, then they'll really kill us all.
Come on.
You know how crazy you sound? I mean, look at the psyche of a middle class Negro. You're
That's
so
right.
You don't understand. Where does your fear of them come from? It comes from the nature of the beast.
That's right.
They have you too afraid to try and survive.
Have you shook?
Because if you say go on and separate, they'll really kill us. You're admitting it is their nature to murder black people. You're admitting that.
Come on, prove, make your case. Make your case out of it. You're making a good one right now.
Right.
No, you make it.
I'm gonna stay with him. I'd rather have him murder me up close than get away from him and have him come to me and try and kill me.
Listen.
Unbelievable.
No, that's the first time I've ever heard anybody just put it that way, but it's very deep. If you don't believe that the devil and the enemy is the enemy, you said if we leave, you know they're going to come kill us. So you already said they're straight up killer. You said they kill us. And like you said, Dr. Ava, you want to stay close to them so they can kill you versus try to get away from them and kill them. It's like, well, if you leave, they're going to kill you. But if you stay, they may not kill you as fast or something, but you know they're killers. I mean, just the mindset to wrap your – they have to wrap their mind around. Like, y'all better not run because they're going to come get y'all. It's almost like, don't run. As though they the power. You can't run for master. If you run, they're going to come after you. It's almost Negro on the plantation worried about leaving the plantation, the master coming after them to get them.
Stay in captivity.
They stay here with Pharaoh.
It's like Brother Terrence raised the plantation. Remember in the film, the butler came out and told Nat Turner, "You gonna get us all killed."
Right.
This is amazing. Oh, and by the way, it's all over the news too. That and I think I may have seen this somewhere slightly, but my husband has shown me this too. It's all over the news about 99% of baby food has poison, has toxins, metals in it. They start from the womb because they abort 600,000 babies every year. See, they start, at least Pharaoh started with the firstborn. They start in the womb.
Woo!
With fetal tissue. Mm.
Listen. Mm.
They don't even let you come out and suck in some air before they move in on us. So now they're finding metal and all kind of toxins and poisons in baby food, which we were taught to make our own. But what kind of mind kills infants in the womb and just fresh out of the womb? And you know you get your first vaccine the day you're born. This is unbelievable. Ooh, Lord. As Brother Terrence says all the time about the minister, hallelujah.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see manifested shortly what Brother Terrence had said. You know, the minister's love of our people, for our people, is unmatched, it's unequal, and their love for him is the same. And Allah is making this enemy come out full force, and that's going to push us together. So we're going to keep going. We got Sister Darcel, who's been on for a while, waiting to weigh in on this. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Darcel.
Assalamu alaikum, Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
I wanted to say that the prayer line is such the website is so awesome and is really beautiful. And I had a question because I saw something on the website that I didn't quite understand, and it was 1442. Can you explain to me that number? And one other thing I had, you tuned into my mindset about the baby food, because I wanted to know what is the plight of the black farmers, because you know our soils are contaminated, and this being Earth Day coming up the next week, the day before my birthday. So I was just wondering what and how can you explain the 1442, I think, that I saw on the website for Ramadan?
Well, we're going to have the imam on probably next week, because the following week we've got coming up our sister who led the acquisition of the land in Georgia.
Wendy.
Okay.
Yes. She's going to be on, I think, on the 29th of April. I'm going to be a little bit more specific before we go off the air. But
okay, that would be a Thursday, the 29th would be.
Mm-hmm. Right, and so it would be the 22nd, next Thursday, our national imam.
Okay.
Imam Sultan Rahman Muhammad. I want him to come on for the specific purpose of answering questions around Ramadan. He'll be able to answer you.
And also about the farmers, have anyone, are we in contact with going on with the farms and with
we'll get an update on that too. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And my last thing, it was sort of somewhat a joke. People were saying, oh, did you hear who died? And some people say, oh, gosh, Prince Philip. And some people say, oh, say Pimp Philip. I mean, oh, I'm sorry, no, DMX. So it's like your point of view, who you thought was important as far as the crossing over and the transition. And I also lastly like to say the police came out of slave patrols. So if we understand their origin, then we will understand what the results would be. And that's all I needed to share. Alaikum salam.
Oh, thank you. And, yes, sir.
No, I was just saying, and as when she was asking for 1442, that is during the time of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his followers migrated from Mecca to Medina, known as the Hijra, and this is the start of the Islamic calendar to establish the first Muslim Ummah community.
Let me see if I can. I'm thinking sister's still listening. Did you hear that, Sister Darcell?
Yes, I did. Oh, 1442. That's what that was. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
I appreciate you.
Thank you. Elevated Places. Come on, Elevated Places team.
Sister
also,
Ava.
I got. Yes. Let me just say this real quick. Our guests on the 29th will be sisters Renee Walters and Ashley Scott. That's who we'll be on to help walk us through their acquisition of land in Georgia. You know, that they're building the community there as we move toward the establishment of carrying out the minister's directive, make your own community a safe and decent place to live. And we're planning on that being a very big program, and we're looking at expanding our platform so that this can be visual as well. But I'm sorry, Sister Attorney Pamela, you go right ahead.
Yes, ma'am. I wanted to clarify that point, you know, that you asked me. So the point is that black people, being less than 13% of the U.S. population, are killed by police more than twice the rate of white. And for the year 2015, they talked, and that's not in, that's including those times that black people are killed, not in, you know, traffic stop situations, as our sister Breonna Taylor was, as the young brother, I think the Hispanic brother killed in Chicago, where, you know, they're shot on the street.
Yeah.
So that's inclusive of them all. But dealing with the traffic stops specifically, that's where the 300 number came from, 300 in 2015, where you definitely could say one in three were black. And so as Sister Darcell said, the slave patrols, because I just wanted to close by saying you brought up Brother Philando Castile, and in this article, they mentioned how in from 2002, between 2002 and 2016, Brother Castile was stopped 52 times. And that's according to the data by the American Civil Liberties Union. And it resulted in 86 minor traffic offenses. Traffic offenses alone. And like you say, that fatal encounter that he had, of course, you know, it turned tragic in less than 1 minute. The stop turned tragic in less than 1 minute. Our brother was dead. So this is Sister Darcelle's right. Slave patrols. Yes, ma'am.
Ooh, that's mind-boggling. That is mind-boggling. What kind of, look at your life. You talk about harassment.
That's right.
52 times. So that becomes part of your life, being pulled over. I'm speechless. Oh, my God.
That's right.
Whew. Let me go to my young brother, my young astute brother. Brother Kareem, because I saw him on here. I know he's here. He's been on for a while. Here he is. Oh, he's hoping. Assalamu alaikum, Brother Kareem. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum salam.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
Yes, sir. Good to hear from you.
I just wanted to say that all these killings, and we know what kind of government we're dealing with, yet we still want to take their vaccine. We want the same government's vaccine who's willing to let their officers beat us down and kill us, yeah, we're willing to take their same vaccine.
There it is. Look at the logic.
And so how are we so quick to take the vaccine when it's made by the same people and the same companies that are responsible for killing us? I just heard on the news yesterday that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine caused blood clot in some people.
Yes.
And we still are trying to take their vaccines.
It's amazing.
And we get killed every day by the same people who are trying to help us. I was reading in my Washington State history book, and it said that the government likes to work with the big companies.
Come on.
And so they produced in World War One, the United States economy was better because they were selling tanks and equipment to their allied forces. And guess who was working with the government to make those? The big companies.
Come on, brother.
And Johnson & Johnson, they be saying since 19-something and all that kind of stuff. But how are they trustworthy if you
exactly.
don't even have a good rep sheet on making baby powder? And you've been doing this for maybe almost 100 years. And everything happens after the fact when it comes to the enemy getting exposed. But when a black person getting exposed, you gonna hear it even before they even think to run for something.
That's right. That's right.
Assalamu alaikum.
He is the constant drop the mic.
Mr. Impeccable, that's what I'm going to call him.
Right.
His logic is impeccable. You can't touch it. And listen, people, that's what we need to say out here when you run into people and they want to know why aren't we taking it. Ask them, are they watching the Floyd trial? Are they watching Dante Wright? Or did they see this killing and that killing? It's
that's
the
right.
same government.
That's right.
I'm so happy that my brother is calling into this program because it helps us make a statement to the enemy. See, because this is what these teachings and good parenting have produced. And you can't deal with Brother Kareem. There's nothing. I would love to see Brother Kareem sit down on the Today Show with Anthony Fauci. They would never allow it, but Anthony Fauci wouldn't last 5 minutes with Brother Kareem. And that's why we should be thankful. We should be thankful to Allah that we not only do we have these teachings, not only do we have the minister in our midst, but whatever is wrong with all of us have our flaws, at least Allah has blessed us to have enough about ourselves to be able to know and see and accept the Jesus, the Messiah, while he's among us, not 1,000 years later, but while he's
That's
among
right.
us.
That's
All
right.
praises due to Allah. So, okay, let's get, we got more callers we got to get to. We have our great fisherman, Brother Hoyle.
As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum.
Ramadan Mubarak, family.
Ramadan Kareem, dear brother.
Yeah. Oh, great. Sister, family, I got some information y'all probably didn't hear about. Excuse me. But the number one solution the minister gave a while back, family, is black police in the black community. We're talking about no police on the traffic stop.
Indeed.
No black police in the black community. That's the number one
That's
solution right.
right
there. And we also got to think about the American government is the number one enemy of the black people that are trained by the Israeli Mossad. All these police departments go in Israel and get this Krav Maga killing training, and they're killing our youth. And you remember
yes.
the number one enemy to Israel was the black youth and black men and black people. So Israel runs America. And then this last paragraph, sister, I got to tell y'all what y'all, the family, what we didn't know, and this is powerful. It says the ugly reality is that we will never get full and complete freedom living under Caucasian people. The system, whether Minneapolis, Ferguson, Baltimore, Chicago, anywhere USA, is doing what it's supposed to do, is destroying and justifying the destruction of black life. With deep pain and humility, we ask, how many more deaths will it take for us to face the undeniable truth? And I say separation. But all this South is ours, sister. We ain't got to go to Africa. We run these white folks, run these pepperwoods out of here. And it's all this good fertile land down here, chickens and birds and everything. But to the main thing that I wanted to tell y'all, y'all didn't hear about this. I was coming back from one of my hospitals I was servicing up in Baltimore, and I stopped by to see my son. So when he got off work, he said that had been a police shooting. Now, y'all didn't know this. This has been in the news, but they're keeping it hush-hush. And I'm going to give you the real truth because the aunt came out. Y'all heard about a 17-year-old student got shot in Knoxville, didn't you? You didn't hear about that, did you? This happened two or three
no.
days ago. Okay. When I got back, I asked my son, so people were texting him. I said, was it, you know, I'm thinking Knoxville. I thought it was a crazy white boy. But the true story, because the aunt got on Facebook, and you can probably go on my timeline and find out. It was a young black boy going to Knoxville off sneaks. His name was Anthony Jake Thompson, 17. Let me tell you just what happened. He was dating, I don't know the girl, and I don't know actual fact, but it sounded to me like a white girl. But he was having problems with her, and he was threatened by the stepdad. Okay, he wasn't the one with the gun. His friend threatened to have a gun, but he didn't have a gun because they didn't find the guns on him. Stepdad called the police, the Knoxville police, on these two black boys, saying that you got some active shooters in the bathroom, because he was texting the boy. He said he was going to beat him up after work because him and the girl broke up. And sounds to me she was white, like she was probably a white girl. I don't know. I don't have actual facts. But when the boy went in the bathroom, the Knoxville police came in there because they're saying on the article that the student who was fatally shot during the confrontation with the police did not fire the bullet, and he didn't have a gun either. They're protesting as we speak, and I think they have the Black Lives Matter and all of that. But the family gave the correct story on it, because they're not saying too much about this in Knoxville. So, you think Knoxville is some, you think it's some crazy white people on meth or, shooting up the school. But it was a black boy who broke up with his girlfriend. He didn't have a gun. He was a good boy. He wasn't the one that owned the gun. It was a friend that said he was going to get a gun. But it wasn't a gun. They didn't find the gun. They just went in the bathroom and shot and killed the two boys. So they're covering this up. So a lot of the black organizations are speaking out about this. Say the boy didn't even own a gun, so that was broke up with the girl. So this is something we may have to watch. But we're looking at this. I saw the trial of Derek Chauvin, and he had this smirk, and he was laughing, Sister David. He was making some kind of smirks and laughing. I was in my parents' house, and I say, I'll be damned, excuse my language. But, he's been devil being himself. But I'm looking at maybe he'll probably get second degree, probably not even. They're gearing up for this to be a mistrial. And also the white woman that shot the brother in Minnesota, they put protective fencing around her house.
I saw that, yes.
Yeah, they put protective fencing around her house.
They got chain link fenced up. They got
right.
Yeah.
So,
well, Yeah, because the people are right on edge of pushing back. This brother Karen shared with us about a story at the opening of the program. And by the way, in brother editor's editorial this week, you lifted something from the end. And I also want to lift something earlier in the article. Legal contributor, Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad, is quoted in this editorial by Brother Naba Muhammad. And Sister Attorney Pamela says, quote, and I'm so glad she said this, because that, as a lawyer, that really was eating me alive during this trial. Sister Pamela said, the use of hypotheticals like the defense attorney is using concerns me a bit, because hypotheticals should be supported by some evidence of what evidence shows, not just your theory of the case, said Attorney Pamela Muhammad, based in Texas. And if you all that watched any part of it noticed that, pardon me, Eric Nelson, the lawyer for Chauvin, in all of his cross-examination of the prosecution, he used hypotheticals, which, of course, hypotheticals are not reality. They are things that could happen or might happen.
Yes, ma'am.
Well,
yes,
ma'am. The reason he was using hypotheticals, as she said, is disturbing. He couldn't use the reality.
That's right.
So he was saying things like, wouldn't it be reasonable for a police officer to be concerned about a mob? But then when you see the video and the cameras show you this little sad-looking little group of people.
Yes, ma'am.
Who were just simply asking this man to stop killing this man.
Killing.
Right.
Yes, ma'am. That's right.
Brought out, the prosecutor said, well, we're not talking about what if, and one of the experts said it. But I'm talking about this case.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But it goes with what you all have said all evening. This double standard has become unbearable. It is
yes,
so
ma'am.
In your face that it is unbearable.
One more.
All praise to Allah.
Aslam, Sister Ava.
I'm sorry, Brother Well. Yeah, one more point.
Yes, ma'am. One more thing. I just want to let the listening audience know. I know this is Ramadan, but Abdul Malik, the top fisherman, number one, and I'm number two. We're working on, and maybe in the future I'll tell you about it, we work on a prayer and fasting group, and we fast 3 days every week. So, inshallah, he wants to come on the show, you know, and talk about that. We come on the study group on Friday, and I help
yes.
him with that. So he wants to talk about that.
Yes,
sir. It's pretty powerful. It's a lot of testimonial, sister. I've lost about 20 pounds myself, so we know that's my 15th week doing it.
I need to get in it.
Yes, ma'am. I was looking like a fat Albie Sure for a minute. So I'd have lost 25 pounds to get back to high school. What, sister? Hey, it's testimonials on there of people cured of diabetes, prostate cancer. And I'll let him
wow.
talk about it in the future. In the future, we got to have a brother on. We're powerful.
Okay.
And I want to include everybody in it. It's called Prayer and Fasting. He's been on different shows, and I'm helping him with it. So you're looking at number one fisherman and number two. So we're neck and neck. So, but Abdul Malik, I
know
talked
you
to him
didn't
today.
Say Al, be sure. I can't find anybody more recent than Al, be sure.
I'm getting back to 1995, Sister Abe. I promise you. You ain't gonna my blood pressure and everything. So we'll talk about it in the future. I know you got some guests coming up, inshallah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. No, we definitely gotta have a program with this on it. But thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, brother. Wa alaikum salam. Okay, we have our dear sister who's also a member of the separation team, Sister Donna, who has a comment. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Donna.
Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem.
You know, thank you, Sister Attorney Pamela, first of all, for the statistics that you gave. And I put in that chat about, you know, the frequency of my husband being stopped. And listening to the stories and how you describe, Minister Ava, what is that like to live up under, the stress it caused?
Yes,
and it brought to mind a narrative just to show how much he has gone through it and been profiled. But back in the 90s when we were courting, and it was even when you were the student regional minister, we were courting and a group of us, the student ministry, went out. We went out skating, and then we were just going to go eat. And it was nighttime. And we went a short distance from the skating rink to a little place to eat. Well, we didn't know that had forgot to turn on his light. We pull into the parking lot. We're on one side. Another group of believers is on the other side. A police pulls in next to us. He gets out the car, telling Seeker to get out. I'm in the back seat, and other brothers in the front seat with him. Some of the believers start walking across. He's like, back, back, get back. He makes them go back. Now, he hasn't told us what's going on. The other brother in the front seat tries to get out the front seat. He wouldn't let him get out. I'm in the back seat. I got out. He was mad, but you can tell that he was going to try to do something. He had his hand on his gun. And so I was like, then he's just going to be killing two black people tonight because I'm getting out this
right.
car. And I stood
yes,
there
ma'am.
Next to him. And then he says, well, I noticed your lights weren't on. That was it.
What?
That was it. And so he didn't see me in the back. He just saw two black men. And he didn't know. So I'm saying that to say, you know, that's so real. And he's been profiled so many at the airport, everywhere.
Yes,
you know,
ma'am.
But that really just brought that incident back. And I'm feeling like every moment of it right now. And so, we, you know, we're going to be forced to separate.
I hear it in your voice.
It will be forced to separate. And it makes me mad because I think about this first black head coach at UNC talking about I'm proud to have a white wife. And I'm black men going through what they're going through. So you know what? You're going to go down with the devil if you love them so much. But the rest of us, we've got to separate.
That's right. Yes, ma'am.
Because we can't live with
them. Thank you, beloved.
So I'm sorry for the passion, but it just brought it all back to the head because it's so true what
it's so real.
On these routine traffic stops. And even today he was stopped on the way back from Arkansas, and he always gets stopped. And he immediately called me and put me on speakerphone. So, of course, my heart's pounding. I'm praying because I don't know what's going to happen. And that was just pardon my passion during this Ramadan, but thank you for that moment.
Thank you, beloved. Thank you, ma'am.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum. Wa alaykum salam.
Alaykum.
This is real. This is a real. This is no fake program. This is reality. Brother John, we got about 3 minutes left. Brother John, as-salamu alaykum.
Right.
Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Kareem, alaykum salam. Real quick, since you know, it's 4 minutes, I just wanted to bring out 2 points and ask a question. One of the points was about the baby food. You know, I'm a neonatal ICU nurse, and most people don't realize that the same people that approve the drug approves food, the FDA.
People,
it's the FDA, Food, Drug, and Administration. So they say baby food, and they've been saying this. It's one of the main reasons why lead is in babies. I mean, it's one of the biggest contaminants of lead for babies. And so we think it's a water line, but it is baby food is one of the main contributors. The other thing I want to say real quick about police is that this is my observation. And I've taken some of these tests, and most of us don't realize we're taking these tests when you go get a job at some white man's job. Now, unless you're getting tested for something specific, like if you're a nurse and they're giving you a math test or a drug test, that's specifically. But if you're taking a test to get a job, that's a psychological test. They want to see your psychic. So these police officers, the problem is it's the white police officers are being psychologically tested for one thing, and the black police officers are being psychologically tested for another thing. So they're picking these. It's not the training. It's the type of person they're getting psychologically. They're identifying from the psychological test, and they'll pick that white person and say, oh, yeah, he'll be good. And then they pick the brothers who are going to be docile or whatever. They'll be able to get along with that type of psychological. That's what they're doing. They're teaming these type of people up that they'll be able to get along. It's just like those reality shows. They put the people together that they know don't like each other from psychological tests, so they have all the fights and the blow-ups. But so if they change the psychological profiling of these white folk, of who they picking, then they would get a better product. That's just my opinion. And then the third part I just wanted to ask real quick. Do you think that there's going to be a mistrial in this Chauvin George Floyd case due to the fact of how they did all these the protesting and stuff that was going on, and that the jurors were not sequestered. Thank you. I just wanted to ask that question. Appreciate you. Thursday night is tonight.
Appreciate you.
All right.
I appreciate you, and we'll know that soon. But I'm going to, Sister Pamela, I'm going to go with a conviction of a lesser, probably the third degree. I think the environment is such that they don't want to go in that direction, but that's just my thinking. We don't know. We just don't know. But a law is the best planner. Whatever comes out of that jury room and whatever comes out of that trial, it is going to facilitate separation. But I want to thank Sister Attorney Pamela Muhammad. I want to thank my co-host, of course, Brother Terrence Muhammad, our executive producer, Sister Rona Muhammad, the fabulous calls that came in, and my apologies that we did not get to everyone, because I love it when I do, and to all of those who shared some reality experiences, I thank you so much for doing that, because this is all real. May Allah bless us all with love and a wonderful Ramadan. Assalamu alaikum.
Wow.